from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk. Your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Good Clock Headlines brought to you by Buddies, Goodies, and Glass. Always 420 at Buddies. Okay. Opening day tomorrow for the Mariners. Luis Castillo on the mound. Join us tomorrow. We'll be at Jimmy's on first. We being the radio station, the entire radio station, starting at 6 a.m. Chuck, Buck, Ashley, and crew tomorrow starting at 6. Then Puckett and Jimbo at 10. Myself at 1. Softy at 2:45. All kinds of guests. Jerry DePoto, John Stanton, players, much more. All that tomorrow. Opening day for the Mariners. Again, the Guardians tomorrow. Luis Castillo takes the mound. Opening day 2023. UW Pro Day today with the Huskies working out 10 of them over at Montlake. Cougs had theirs yesterday. By the way, tomorrow is the Anthony Richardson workout down in Florida. How about this for Major League Baseball? The pitch clock, it shaved 26 minutes off of spring training games.
Ooh, that's substantial.
It's substantial. On top of that, the other number that came out that was rather interesting, I thought, was batting average up a little bit. From one side of the plate, but not the other, with the shift out there. And we'll see how it all translates to the regular season, but rules changes out there as well. So, okay. That's your headlines. Is Mr. Tomlinson standing by? Is he ready to go? Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes, no. Yes.
I think he's on his way.
Is he on his way? What do we have? Do we have a Dave Tomlinson sighting? No? Wait 1 second.
Almost.
Almost?
He's getting his headset in.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Professional radio,
ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and play the open anyway while he gets his headset on? Let's get that going. Let's play the open. DT, standing by.
It's time to talk all things Kraken in the National Hockey League with Kraken radio analyst Dave Tomlinson.
In a hurry, Fleury puts it past the goaltender.
Brought to you by Chef John Howie's Beardsley Public House, the number one brewery and grill house in Bothell. Located just down the street from UW Bothell campus on Beardsley Boulevard. Beardsley Public House features a menu from Chef John Howie and world-class signature brews.
A breakaway beauty.
Now with Dave Tomlinson.
And goes five holes. On this one.
Here's Ian Furness.
All right, Dave Tomlinson joins us a day early. Big thanks to our good friends at John Howie's Beardsley Public House for bringing you Dave Tomlinson every week, usually on Thursdays at 2 o'clock. But tomorrow is just kind of a hockey term coming up here, gong show. We've got so much going on. We've got hockey tomorrow night with the Kraken hosting Anaheim. We got opening day. We're at Jimmy's on first doing shows all day, and opening day kind of it's its own little animal. So we got a lot going on. So we said, I don't want to miss a week without having DT on. We got a lot to talk about in the world of Kraken as they head down the home stretch. So Dave, kind enough to come on today on this Wednesday afternoon. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing as wonderful as the weather outside.
Well, and it's not bad today. It's not bad at all. And might turn a little south, but that's okay. You guys in the hockey world don't care about the weather until the season's over, until you bring the golf clubs out. And hopefully for the Kraken, that won't be that'll be a little ways away. Nice trip in a sense. Got some points out of Nashville, and a regulation win over them was huge. What happened in Dallas went from frustration to elation. That was cool. But what happened on Monday was not so much. How would you put a bow on what happened on the road?
More good than bad. That's what I'm going to say about that road trip. And it started off with that big overtime win in Dallas. And so when we start looking forward to the next games, and how the Kraken can close in a playoff spot and keep the teams behind them. I think that win to start up the road trip was huge for the Seattle Kraken in Dallas. And then, you know, they kind of took a step back in Nashville and then wiped the room with them on that Saturday game. And then I think just in Minnesota, they ran out of gas. Like, keep in mind, they've been on the road since the 18th, right? They played that game against the Oilers, lost that game. Grubauer come out not feeling well. And then the rest of the team went to Coachella Valley for some team bonding. So they've been on the road or were on the road for quite some time. And you can't go into Minnesota at the tail end of the road trip and think it's going to be things are going to come easy. And I thought they were the better team, you know, maybe halfway through the hockey game. But then the Wild got a couple of goals and there's just no comeback to be had.
Well, I mean, Fleury's playing through lights out right now. It's obviously that time of the year. He's hit a different level and goal for them. Dave, I hate the matchup with them if that's what Seattle sees in the first round. I absolutely hate that matchup. I don't like a team that can lean on you. I know Seattle generated some chances and Fleury was good, but I don't know, man. I just feel like that is, you know, in the world of sports, matchups can be everything, right? And a team that's going to lean on you and clog up that neutral zone. They're not going to let you skate. They're going to just beat the you-know-what out of you in the corners. I don't like that matchup for Seattle. I hope it's not what we see.
As I've been saying to Everett along the way, when things aren't that great, it is suboptimal. Yeah, it's a team. For me, the Central Division is like that. Okay, so Colorado, they're defending Stanley Cup champions. They've got more flash and dash, but that's it. Otherwise, like, Minnesota is a team that's going to grind you down, and they did. They've been winning. You know, they've won 7 of the last 10 without their all-star Kaprizov, Kirill Kaprizov. So, you know, they're getting it from all parts, and the goaltending, and that's the biggest differentiator when you get to the playoffs. Dallas is going to be a tough out because they've got that strong top line. So any team that the Kraken match up with in the Central, it's going to be pretty tricky, in my opinion. The way it's trending, it's looking like a Central Division team. I don't think anybody's going to be able to catch Vegas unless the Kraken help themselves out and beat Vegas both times they play them between now and the end of the season. And, you know, we'll see what comes of that. But this is going to be a situation where the Kraken need to, you know, get stronger defensively. They're learning that against teams that are playing that way already. And the biggest factor for them has been health.
Yeah, just for people, again, to refresh everyone's memory, the top team in each division, so in the Central and the Pacific, they'll take on the wild card teams. The number one team gets the number two wild card team. The second team in terms of points, in terms of division winners, would get the number two wildcard team, if I explain that correctly. I'll explain it like this. It's a lot like baseball, very much like baseball in terms of the wild card and who you see. And then the two division teams that finish second and third play each other. So right now it'd be Minnesota against Seattle and Vegas against Winnipeg. And then it would be Colorado and Dallas and Los Angeles and Edmonton is how it would work out. And you're right, because Winnipeg, two games more played than Seattle and 3 points behind Seattle. It kind of feels like Seattle should hold on to that number one wild card spot. And Vegas has a 3-point lead over Minnesota for the overall Western Conference lead, I guess. And so unless something happens to Vegas, it very much could be a Central Division team. Colorado, by the way, just 1 point behind Minnesota. So, and so is Dallas. I don't know. I don't mind Dallas. I like the fact that they were just, you know what I liked about the Dallas thing, Dave, was they beat Ottinger, their goaltender, and they beat him clean a few times in that last game. Like, it wasn't like, hey, you got a deflection, you got a greasy goal in front, and, you know, a scrum. Like, they beat him clean a few times, and shooting the puck through him, I thought, was really hard. They got to feel, I don't know, at least a little bit of confidence going against that guy if they see him in the playoffs.
I think so, except for his performance last year in the playoffs, where he was probably the best goaltender in the first round. So
yeah.
Here's the way to put it all together. There's no easy matchup when you make the playoffs. and that's the situation that the Kraken didn't have last year, right? I mean, at this point in the season, we're talking about draft picks and you know, who they might be taking when they go to the podium. And nobody envisions Shane Wright, and they got him, and he's back in the minor and the juniors scoring and feeling confident. So that worked out. But the playoffs, and the Kraken are fortunate they have enough guys that have won Stanley Cups. So they know that it's a whole new season. And things get way more intense. Everybody, you know, is blocking shots. Everybody is taking the body. Guys that don't normally hit are forced to hit because they're getting hit. And so the game just gets, the intensity ratchets up so much. And I think Kraken fans are going to notice that when the first playoff game comes to time to play. It's just like, my goodness, like, I didn't realize these two teams hate each other. Yeah, they do, because one's standing in the area of the other of moving on.
I think for business, just from a business standpoint, I was mentioning this to a couple guys today. We're doing our What's Kraken show. I think just from a business standpoint, I'd like to see, if it has to be the Central, give me Colorado. Denver-Seattle rivalry would be fun. If not, give me one of the teams from the Pacific, please, Vegas or whatever. We need to grow this game. We need to grow the fan base. And I'll be honest with you, Minnesota and Dallas are nothing burgers in a lot of ways, but it will grow in a sense. We will get a little excited, but I'd love to see Colorado. I don't care if they're defending Stanley Cup champions or not. Give me something that gets this town juiced. Give me something they can sink their teeth into and get the, you know, we got hardcore fans here. Let's get some more of those fringe fans on board when they see that what Stanley Cup playoffs are all about. All right. What's the term, suboptimal? Is that your term?
Yes.
I guess I would say
my term when I don't want to say, if I'm disgusted and I don't want to really just lash out, I will just, it's just suboptimal.
Is it suboptimal what's happening to Andre Burakovsky right now?
It's mysterious. I'll give you that. The thing is, the players that are injured, when they're on their kind of rehab journey and they're back to skating, they don't skate with the regular group. And the beauty, I guess I could say, of Climate Pledge or of Community Iceplex is that there's three sheets. And so usually the injured guys will skate on their own earlier than when the press gets there, just so they can get in and out and there's no prying eyes. But, you know, for Burakovsky, he, you know, hasn't been on the road trips. Typically, if a player is close to getting back, he comes on the road and skates with the team. That hasn't happened. It's just, it's unfortunate because nobody has stepped up to, in his absence. You know, they've tried Brandon Tanev up in the wing. They've tried Donato up in the wing. Now they've got Morgan Geekie up in the wing, and I like that. But what I don't like is that this Burakovsky situation is dragging on, and there's no real information on when he looks to get back. And that's, he would help the team. Like, it would be a boost for the Seattle Kraken because he's a guy that's got playoff proven experience. I mean, he won a cup in Washington, won a cup last year, played injured through it. And so he would be, when he gets back in the lineup, you'll see a noticeable difference because that Kraken ability to roll their lines and will include him having more offense.
Well, everyone's better and everyone's deeper. And you take a guy off your top six, and that's the trickle-down. Certainly, you just mentioned it. The trickle-down's amazing, isn't it? Like, one guy out of the top six is out, and you're constantly trying to replace that and find something that makes it work. And, I mean, he's 39 points in 49 games this season, nothing to laugh at. That is a big, big step. I saw him skating three weeks ago before practice. We were out taping our show. I saw him. In fact, we've seen him a couple times out there, but the last 2 weeks we have not, and we get out there real early. We check all three sheets. I'll get to them in a second. I saw the goalies out there getting some extra work in today. Lord knows they need it. We'll get to that in a second. But they, you know, haven't seen him out there, so you just have to wonder if there's a setback and hope like hell there isn't because they need him when the postseason starts.
Well, because he's a big body, right? And he can play the same way in the regular season, in the playoffs, be as effective. That's the way to put it, because you know, a lot of other players, a lot of, you know, skill first type players realize that the time that they usually have with a puck and the space that you can usually find offensively, just it's not there in the playoffs. Too many guys are intent on running it through the boards.
So I'm looking through some numbers today, actually last night, getting ready for our show today. And I was trying to find the silver lining to what has been a suboptimal, Dave Tomlinson term, situation in goal for this team this year. And as I go down and I'm going through the numbers, goals saved above expected, goals saved above expected per 60 minutes, save percentage on unblocked shots, going through as many things as I can find. And, you know, lo and behold, Dave, all I do is I have to scroll down to like number 59, number 38, number 58, depending on the stat, to find a logo with the Seattle Kraken logo on it, to find a netminder. It's become an issue. I know, the other night, Grubauer, it feels like he can have a bad one and bounce back. He's got a short memory, but let's be honest, they've got to get consistent goaltending. How concerned should they be about the inconsistency, if nothing else, in net?
Oh, I think there's a mild concern only because last season was also along the same lines where the save percentage for the team, so regardless of which goal it was in there, was below 900, which isn't the industry standard. You'd like to be like 906, 907 at least. And so for the Kraken, like defensively what happens is they don't give up a lot, and when they do, it's big. And it's tough for a goaltender to stare down like a 2-on-1 right in front of the net. And so it's more systematic with the play in front of the goaltenders than the goaltenders themselves. And when the goaltenders themselves are on, like when Grubauer was on before these last couple of games, he is capable of getting across and making those big stops. So what would normally be a goal, and that falls into the expected goals, he's able to thwart. And that's when he's at his best. Martin Jones plays a different style. He's big, he's a blocker, and he takes up a lot of the net if he doesn't get across the same way. The Kraken defensively just need to take that extra breath before they run away from the front of the net to go make a hit or make a play. And so that's the area where they need to clean up, and then the goaltender's numbers will rise. But you think of last year, Andrew Allen was the goaltender coach. He was moved to another part of the organization in scouting, and Steve Bier comes in, and I thought he did such a wonderful job with both goaltenders, and then with Martin Jones going on a run early and getting all those wins, it looked like the Kraken were getting the goaltending they were hoping for. But I think this last road trip kind of exposed things just a little bit.
Do you think there's any choice for them, or is Grubauer, when you get to the postseason, he's the guy, no questions asked?
I mean, depending on his play over the next 2 weeks, if it falls off the map, then you know you don't want to put a goalie in who's fighting it. But I've got a lot of confidence in Philip Grubauer. I mean, you even mentioned if it's Colorado, I would imagine that storyline, him going up against his former employer, that would be nice. But yeah. I think that the goaltending will be not the biggest issue they're facing. For me, it's their special teams.
Yes.
Their power play has just fallen from the start of the season till the end of the season, right? They were seventh at one point. That was their high watermark. Now they're in the 20s. And you need – there's not a lot of penalties that are called in the playoffs. So when one comes up, you need to be effective. And so I would point more towards – making sure the special teams are on their game versus concerning ourselves too much with Philip Grubauer.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it all suboptimal, the conversation today. But, didn't even want to get to the special teams. But, yeah, I don't even know what you do there. I mean, it's, again, you're missing a top six guy. Tolvanen's, on the first power play unit still, right? And he's been fine this year for you. But it feels like there's something missing. And I think more than anything on that second unit, I don't know what Schultz is up to. He must be banged up or something. He doesn't look like himself. And yeah, they got to find that, because you're right. When you get to the post, hell, I think we see it right now in the NHL. Honestly, Dave, I was watching a game the other night, and I think it was at Winnipeg last night. Their first power play didn't come until like early in the third period. Like things are tightening up around the league. You don't get as many power play opportunities, and if you do get one, you sure as hell better get something going.
Right. And so for the power play specifically, like for me, it starts in the faceoff circle. The Kraken just don't win their fair share of faceoffs when they have the extra man onto the ice. So that is a head scratcher. So then you're breaking out of your own zone and coming down the ice. And then the break in is a little bit too predictable. And so right there, there's, the first 30 seconds of your power play that's spent just trying to get in the zone. You started there. You remember the rule of, it wasn't out of the lockup, but it was after that where, after a penalty, the faceoff starts in the offensive zone. It didn't used to be that way. So you're gifted an offensive zone faceoff, and if you don't win that on your power play, you start chasing things. And so I think once they get set up, they're getting their looks. Like McCann, give the puck to him on the left side, he's going to bury it. Tolvanen, you mentioned, he shoots from the other side. I would like to see them get more of those, battle at the net goals rather than hoping for, a 20-foot clean shot, because they moved the puck twice and the goaltender hasn't gotten over. But it's an area that if there's going to be other parts of the game that fall off, the special teams have to come to the forefront.
I'll finish with a positive note. As we go down the home stretch, the magic number point-wise, according to the great Mike Benton, is still 13 for an outright win, outright clinch. I think 12 is the number because they got tiebreakers anyway. So let's just say 12 or 13 points, all it takes as you head down the stretch. I see 10 easy points, 3 against Arizona, a Chicago game, and an Anaheim game. Hell, I'm not going to throw Vancouver in there right now because they're playing better, but I see 10 points just right there. How confident should Kraken fans feel that their team is going to the postseason?
That's highly confident.
That's a long pause. Right there. DT, that's a long pause, buddy.
The right word.
You lost him there for a second.
Wait. No, I was trying to get the right word.
Okay.
Between, pretty confident and highly confident. There's something in between of those two.
Yes.
Not fairly. So, I should know. I use a lot of words sometimes. Let's put it this way. I heard in my playoff notes.
I like it. You're already working on playoff notes. Is that what you said at the end? Oh, we lost him. Wow. That's not.
Hey, we did actually lose him.
That's also suboptimal.
Suboptimal.
I think his last words before we lost DT where I'm already working on playoff notes.
Yeah, a great place to end.
I like it.
All right. I can hear you guys still.
Yeah, I got you back. We got you back. There you go.
I can hear you guys. Yeah.
Your last words before you dropped off were, let's put it this way, I'm already working on playoff notes. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
That's all we need to hear, sir. That's all we need to hear. And you're an ex-hockey player, an ex-pro. Guys are superstitious as hell. If DT's working on playoff notes, Kraken fans, you can feel very, I'd say, if nothing else, comfortable with your team situation right now. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I know you're going to go check out a baseball game this weekend as well. So enjoy that too, my friend. We'll talk to you in a week's time, sir. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.
That's Dave Tomlinson. He is, of course, the radio analyst here on the Kraken Audio Network. Does a great job on the broadcast, on the call. And I felt like it was all optimal, but the interview. But there are some things to be concerned with. But the bottom line is this: they are a postseason team. There's probably it would be really hard. They got three against Arizona. They've got one against Chicago. They got tomorrow night against Anaheim. Yeah, they've got the Kings and they got Vegas for a couple. Those are tough. Vancouver's playing better, but that could be a win. Hell, get a point out of there, you're in. I just don't want to see. I don't want to see Minnesota. I don't want to see
if
you see Minnesota in the first round, it may not last all that long. It just may not, and I don't trust their goaltending at all right now. God. Someday we'll talk to them maybe next week, of course, closer to the playoffs. There's a pretty good history in the NHL of like goalies coming out of nowhere, you know, second and third string guys and getting on a run, getting on a heater. I mean,
OED.
Some of them were Hall of Famers. Patrick Waugh did it. Ken Dryden did it. But other guys like Matt Murray did it 1 year. I mean, it happens. Yeah, Joey.
Come on.
Joey. All right, take a break, come back. We'll check your texts. Also, we'll give away some tickets, and then we'll tell you how you can win some Mariner tickets as well, all coming up next. Text here in a second, 49451. That is the Tullamore Dew text line. A couple on the crack, and we'll get to in a second. Don't forget, lots going on. We got a lot going on. Just earlier, said we all feel like we're behind. We all feel like it's like, look at that world just kind of, things Wednesday. I don't know what the deal is.
Like we're behind. Blind to Thursday, and it feels like because we're so excited about it that it's the weekend.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow should be a Friday.
It should be a Friday, really.
Yeah.
It really should be a Friday. Excited about tomorrow. Really excited about tomorrow. We're going to be at Jimmy's on first starting at 6 a.m. with the morning show all the way up till 6:30. All shows live at Jimmy's on first. Come on down. Join us for breakfast, lunch, happy hour, whatever you want to do. We'll be there all day. This is like a tradition. And frankly, we were missing it for a few years. 2020, baseball season didn't start till what, the end of July? 2021. God, I remember 2021 doing a story for Fox. I think you might have been there at Fox at the time.
It was.
And we did a story with Trevor Gooby, who's the director of ballpark operations. And we did a walk around, and it was... it might have been one of the most depressing stories I've ever done. It was because it was an opening night story. Here's what to expect when you come to the ballpark and it's you and then three empty rows and then you and your like all the zip ties, everything. And he was also showing us all the enhancements of the ballpark, like the deck up in left field that they just redone up there.
Right. And you're like,
this is cool, but basically here's what you need to know when you come to the ballpark if you're one of the, you know, lucky few to get a go. Yeah, it's like wear a mask and do this.
Oh, and, man. Those heads in the crowd, too.
The heads in the crowd. Yeah, we were looking at those.
The cardboard heads.
This isn't baseball, man. This is, anyway, so.
There's this eerie.
And Jimmy's, like a lot of places, went through some rough times, you know, trying to get staffing back, trying to get back on their feet. So this will be the first time in a while it feels like that we've really had this kind of atmosphere and party starting at 6 a.m. I can't wait tomorrow. Come on by. I would just say, even if you're not going to the game, come by, grab lunch, say hi to everybody. We love seeing everybody. We'll be out there again tomorrow from 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. We got John Stanton on our show at 1:30 tomorrow. We got the Mollywop guys at 2 in person live. That's both a threat and a warning. And then also we've
come
got
for that. Everyone come for that.
So we got all kinds of stuff going on. It's exciting times. Very exciting times. So there you go. All right. 49451. That's the Tullamore Dew text line. Let's check the text on the Tullamore Dew text line. I should also mention, not only Tullamore Dew, or not only text we're doing, This is more. This is also something tomorrow. Like I said, this is why I feel behind. There's like a million things going on.
What? It's a busy day.
Very busy. We have. I've got my Mariner tickets again this year that I like. I love giving away to listeners. That's kind of what they're there for.
It's awesome.
And so I give them away. And what we'll do is we're asking you guys, and we're going to do this tomorrow. I love kind of everyone, and we'll go around the horn. Everyone tomorrow. Mitchie, Anders, everybody tomorrow. Jess, we'll talk about opening day, why it's cool. Yeah, no, we're not going to ever use that term. Don't ever use that term. I don't like it.
The Fernettes.
Ooh,
I like that.
We'll talk about why opening day is cool. I want you guys to get on the voice text, and you've got basically 20 more minutes, 25 more minutes. Get on the voice text, go to the iHeartRadio app, get on the voice text, and you tell me, and Jess, and Anders, and Mitch, and everybody else, why opening day is special, why it's cool, why it's fun, why tomorrow means so much to you. Even if you're not going to the game, what does opening day mean to you? You're a baseball town, you're a major league town, tell us why on a voice text, and we'll randomly select of all the ones that come in, we'll randomly, not the quote, best one or anything like that. We'll just randomly select a few to give away some baseball tickets for next week, too.
Yeah, okay? if you leave us a talk back, you are entered to win.
Yes. You'll get a good chance to win some tickets.
Make sure you do it before 3, though, because once 3 o'clock hits, it filters it out as you're leaving a voice message for Softy and not us.
Yes.
So, correct.
So you have 25 more minutes.
Good call.
And we're not doing, and I'm not, we're not going to go, hey, that was the best one. They're going to win tickets. We're just going to random. You get it in, you're entered to win, as Jess said. Simple as that. Leave a text or a voice text and you're good to go.
Oh, we do have some good entries so far, too. So please continue sending them in. And all right, let's get to the physical text here.
Yes, fire away.
Well, congratulations to those who won the Thunderbirds tickets.
Yes.
We have about 200 plus tickets or texts saying the phrase to win. Are we repeating it now?
Yeah, we can say it. Portland sucks.
Yep.
Yeah, Portland sucks.
Sometimes it'll randomly come in when you have not mentioned it. And this is before I knew that was a part of the show, you know, my first month here. And I'm like, man, why do your listeners hate Portland so much?
Well, I think we started doing it, was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago.
And we started doing, you know, the ticket giveaways with the Thunderbirds are great, especially playoffs. And then last year we started doing it, and they went on such a deep run. They went all the way to WHL Finals. And so we're giving away, they went deep. And remember, the season started late, so the games were going into June. And we're giving away tickets, and people were going crazy. And what we did is very simple. In fact, I use this for any giveaway we do on the text line for my show. And I do like to use the text line, because that way it gives you just, so pull the curtain back. For those of you that are like, oh, I'm listening on the app, and it's like, so we're not going to do ninth caller or anything like that. It's just because you don't have a chance. Random on the text. But you guys know, Portland sucks. No matter if it's a hockey ticket, maybe a baseball ticket.
Sounders ticket, it's very valid for.
Maybe a maybe a jug of Tullamore Dew. I don't care. Yeah. Whatever we give away on this show, you just need to know two words, and those two words are very simple. Portland sucks. Why? Because it's the chant they use. They'll be playing Kelowna, and they'll be yelling, Portland sucks. It's fine. It's good. And you know what? Everyone enjoys it, and it'll continue when the Portland NBA team comes up here and we get an NBA team back. Portland sucks. They do now, and they always will. So we got it for all of these guys that know. If you didn't know, now you know. Portland sucks. And we got a bunch of tickets we're giving away. Okay, what else we got?
Okay, well, we do have some Kraken to get to, and let's get to that because we've been very heavy on opening day. How can Tomlin say, I've got a lot of confidence in Grubauer, which is a fair question, but he did explain it, didn't he? The 518 does say, I'm sick of apologizing for Grubauer. He's not good. We've seen it for 2 years.
Yeah, he struggled.
Struggling.
I think it's just the consistency. I mean, Philip Grubauer is a guy that can go in there and he can win you a game. Like he can be one of the top 10 goalies in the league on any given night. And
right.
Unfortunately, like on paper, you go, oh, they got Grubauer. Like they should be, like, that should not be a concern. He has been inconsistent since he got here. Like, that's the reality of it. He's been inconsistent since he got here. And Martin Jones, love Martin Jones. His best days, you know, were a few years ago. He should be a solid backup for you in the NHL. He should not be a guy you count on to start games, especially in the postseason. This is on Grubauer. They paid Grubauer money to come here. They paid him to be a starter. They paid him to get to the postseason. He's got to be better. He's got to be better. But it's like I think Dave also pointed out, it's not all on him.
Right.
The power play, the special teams have been atrocious lately as well. Good news is they got some gimmies, they got some layups. The three against Arizona, Anaheim,
make sure they're
Chicago.
Actually layups.
Well, they should be. I mean, at some point, those teams should be realizing they're playing for Connor Bedard, right? Like, you need to be tanking to lose. Which, San Jose is, I think, on top right now in that regard. But, yeah, they got some chances.
And they just beat Winnipeg yesterday.
I watched
what
that.
What is with them?
I watched
I don't
that.
Get that.
But you know what? It's only their second win in like their last 12.
They're the
but they play hard.
Unpredictable right. winning team.
But they play hard. But it's only like their second win in the last yeah.
Not that
few
they're
weeks.
Winning. You know what yeah. I mean? Like they'll just beat anyone
Winnipeg
anytime.
Was,
they just
Winnipeg
don't do it.
Winnipeg was gripping this.
They like
tight,
to play
man.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Winnipeg. Think. Winnipeg was playing tight last night. Yeah. They were. They're feeling a little bit of the pressure. Okay.
Keith Miller says subbed up. Suboptimal is a core theme for the 10-to-1 show.
Keith, you are from 10-to-1. Oh, I was gonna say for our. I'd just say from 10-to-3.
Yeah,
we round out the middle there.
Yeah, I think I don't think there's much. I'll be honest with you. I don't know, Keith, if there's much difference between the theories and the philosophies between 10-to-1 and 1-to-3. I think we're all kind of on the same page. Jessamyn tries to raise a level for everybody here, but
Jim just brings me back down.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with Jim in that regard. So. Jim and I are both on the back nine of our careers. It's like whatever. Here we go. It's radio. Let's have fun. Let's do it. Portland sucks. Okay, that's it. We done. We got to check in with David Mahler, Softy. He's next. A 24 hours from now, there will be a first on this radio station. I don't think, have you and I ever tag teamed on an interview, a big time interview? No. Like a big time interview?
Define big time.
Something not named Sean Kemp?
No.
Our
no,
ill-fated
no, no,
Sean Kemp
no,
show?
No, I think the Washington State government wants you and I to have nothing to do with each other when it comes to tag teaming anything.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that's not a good
Jess, we had a Sean Kemp show. No. Softy and I for once.
Okay. Hasn't every Seattle sports radio station attempted a Sean Kemp show?
And we actually did it, though. That's
we did it.
You did.
We did it. Yeah. We pulled it off.
Now, when we say we did it...
We had a carryover because he wanted Kemp, I wanted Kemp, and I think our agreement was, all right, well, let's just do a little crosstalk, right. And we'll do half your show and half my show.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes
right.
sense.
And not really. It was kind of dumb.
As it turned out, most of those hours were spent with just Softy and me.
Waiting for Sean to show up.
And... how many flat tires can a guy have?
Tons. Every week. Every week. You know, Sean, your car's got four tires on it, right, pal? He showed up one day. He walked into the studio, and his eyes are all bloodshot, watering, things like that. And I said, dude, what are you doing? He's like a half an hour late. And he said, oh, man, I'm sorry. I hit a pipe. I was like, what? Dude, you're going on the air. You can't do that. He's like, no, man. My Hummer has a satellite dish on the top of my truck, and it hit a pipe in the parking garage and pulled it off.
It did.
I had to fix it.
Yep.
So he's sitting in the parking garage of the old building,
yep.
right?
Yep.
This is here.
It was here. It was here. Yeah.
Other side there.
Yeah.
And he's literally fixing his satellite dish on top of his Hummer
yeah.
while he's supposed to be on the air with you and me.
While Softy and I are tap dancing.
Right.
Going, the Sean
right.
Kemp show, here it is.
But most of the tap dancing took place in your segment.
It did, right. for the most part.
And then he would show up at 3 o'clock, which would be perfect. So, yeah, tomorrow we're going to tag team. You and me.
Yes, we
Jerry
are.
Jerry DePoto. At 2:45 on the radio show.
Yeah,
that's going to be fun.
Okay, let's define the roles right now.
Okay.
Good cop, bad cop.
Oh, I'm bad cop for sure. That's totally fine.
Really?
I'm not sure if Jerry likes me, to be honest with you.
Really?
So I think that's why he's agreed to do this, because he knows you'll be there
Everyone
with
likes
him.
You. Everyone likes
no,
you.
No. Ask my wife. That's
Wait,
not true.
It's
so
I
am
always,
supposed to be there?
Okay, wait a
sure
second.
This goes
let's
okay.
ask let's ask an impartial juror okay. here.
All right.
You are new to the, yeah. You're new to this place.
Yes.
Outside looking in, if you were to say good cop, bad cop, who would it be from your perception pre-getting here and now currently?
There's only one right
it
answer.
It remains the same.
Okay.
You're good cop.
Yeah.
Me.
Softy's
yeah.
bad cop.
You're Canadian,
really?
Dude. You can't be the bad cop.
No, you're just respectful.
You have Canuck blood in you.
Oh, wait, say that again?
You're respectful.
I'm respectful. And Softy's not?
You ask
no,
tough
not
questions.
At all.
You ask tough
I'm a
questions,
total jerk.
But you ask them in a very respectful manner.
Hey, yeah. Jerry, how come your owner's not spending money? Ah!
You're also this thing called
pretty
a
good,
journalist.
Huh? Pretty good Softy impression, huh?
That's a really good Softy impression.
You like that, huh?
That might be...
Where's Trey Turner, huh?
That's probably a top five Softy
How about
impression.
This? I'll make you a promise.
Okay.
Every question I ask DePoto at 2:45 yeah. tomorrow...
He'll do that voice?
With, ah!
Well, I know how you operate.
Yeah.
Because when he does answer a question and you don't like it,
uh-huh.
there's going to be this.
That's right. Jerry, how long does Kalanick get?
He's probably listening. Now he knows all your tells.
I'm sure he
it's
is.
In the middle of an answer.
That's right.
If so, I drive home every day listening to these guys, and he'll Somebody will answer a question. You'll not like the answer or disagree.
That's right.
You don't cut them off.
Yeah.
You just...
That's my code. That's my code. Because I know you're listening. Jerry, who's better in a five spot, Marco or you right now? Yeah, I'm fired up for that tomorrow, man. It's
going to
be fun. The entire station's going to be at Jimmy's on first.
Yep.
It's always interesting for me because I'm the last one off the air, obviously.
Yes, you are.
So I always get the bar tab.
Yeah.
That you schmucks start at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Ooh, well, I won't be there at 6, but yeah.
Well, Chuck will. Well, Chuck and Buck will be there at 6 a.m.
Chuck won't be the one you worry about.
Followed by Puck and Jim.
Yeah.
And then you and her. And I'm nervous about her, by the way.
Yeah.
Big time.
Her. She gets after it.
I'm nervous about you.
Yeah, this is the day before. Like, tomorrow's my last day before vacation.
Oh, yeah. I'm even more nervous now.
Yeah.
The question is, we should do a contest, by the way.
Closest to the pin?
Yes.
Okay.
How big is the KJR bar tab at 7 o'clock tomorrow night?
Ooh.
From Jimmy's on first. Text into 49451 right now.
You got meals for everybody.
Closest
too, right?
to the pin wins Ian's
yeah,
tickets.
Can you are you talking just bar or bar and meals?
I'm just the tab.
The tab.
Whatever Ooh. The tab is. Right. Ooh. Because I'm always the one that ends up signing for it.
So don't give any hints because you always know what it looks like.
Yeah. I just think tomorrow.
I'm going to hold up a number and you tell me north or south.
Under that. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Under that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was in the same range.
But close.
Oh,
yeah? Okay. Tomorrow is the problem with tomorrow is there's always some putts that works here.
Yeah.
That like brings us pals.
Yeah.
And they jump on the bar tap. And then a sales guy jumps on the bar
Isn't
tap.
That you with
no,
Casey
it's not me.
And the Nicholson
boys? They're not
and...
that dumb. No, no. Okay. No, they pay for their own crack, okay? They're not doing that at Jimmy's tomorrow.
I know the damage those knuckleheads can do.
All right? Those guys will pay for their own bananas tomorrow. But there's always somebody who brings a buddy, and that guy goes nuts, and then some sales guy shows up, and that guy brings a client.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Tomorrow, I mean, it could be north of that. It could be north of that
it
tomorrow.
It might be.
I think it's going to be a big one tomorrow. So maybe tomorrow on the air we'll do a contest.
I like that. That's a good idea.
KP for the KJR bar tab at Jimmy's on first.
I like it.
It's going to be fun. Yeah. Can't wait to get down there.
We were talking about this earlier. Like, this will be the first like normal one in a lot, because even last year they weren't open until like late in the afternoon.
Right, because they had nobody working there.
Right. So tomorrow morning early open, and you'll roll in there.
I'll be there about 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, because you kind of come in, throw your backpack down, try to take over two or three booths. This is how he operates, Jazz. He comes in.
I'm going to take over my area.
Yeah.
Right.
Get me
my reserve sign.
Yes.
Get me my police tape. No crossing. Nobody touch me. Don't look.
Don't look at the soft one. Whatever you do, stay away. Right. Don't look at the soft one.
And then by 4 o'clock, I'll be blitzed.
Because you do it. Because listen, you do attract a different crowd.
Oh, big time.
I mean, the crowd you attract is a little
intelligent people, wealthy people.
Yeah,
you know, movers and shakers, things like that.
Yeah, I'd probably.
You're attracting, you know, the South End, the Maple Valleys, the Kents, the Auburns, the Rentons.
Here's a funny thing.
That's you. You're a man of the people.
You too are a South King County guy now.
I am now, but technically
you're no longer Snohomish County guy.
Technically, I'm East Coast or East Side roots. By the way, okay, over there in Bellevue.
Then I'm Seattle roots.
Okay,
which I guess isn't a good thing these days either.
No,
so.
once you're north of 50, it's your current spot.
Is it?
So
okay,
you're done.
So Southeast King County.
Yeah, I can claim Bellevue for 4 more months.
See you.
And then I'm screwed
because you're not even Southeast King County.
By the way, you were asking about these.
Oh,
the
look
other
at
day.
Those.
How you like that?
You look good.
Yeah, reading glasses,
yeah,
pal.
You look good.
Reading glasses.
Are they progressives or just readers?
No, these are readers. I left the progressives at home.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of the progressives. I can't figure out how to use them.
You put them on, your eyes will adapt within 30 seconds, and away you go.
That's not true at all.
It's not that hard.
That did not happen to me.
It just isn't
There's
that hard.
There's something wrong with my body.
Are those the ones that change color?
No.
They
just have to look through
They're a bifocal at the bottom.
I don't like them.
Oh, with the little...
I don't like them.
But you don't see a bifocal.
The
They're
little
just,
half moon shape
but there's
at the bottom?
No, that's...
It's
this
too much work.
I wear glasses.
This isn't 1975.
It's too much work. I don't want to throw those on. And
all right,
to
what are you doing today?
Different holes.
What's going on?
Mike Florio is going to be with us at 3:10 today. Clint Hurt, the Hurt Locker.
Oh, there'll be a lot of this.
Seahawks defensive coordinator will join us on the radio show today. Daniel Jeremiah at 5 o'clock. And then David Sampson. You know David. The former president of the Miami Marlins, now doing a podcast. He is really awesome on the air.
Yeah, he is.
We're going to ask him if he believes there's any chance in hell that Shohei Ohtani is playing baseball in 1 year from now in Seattle. How about that? Can you imagine 1 year from now, we're getting ready for opening day?
Yep.
Shohei Ohtani, Julio Rodriguez, Eugenio Suarez, Ty France, Cal Raleigh, Logan Gilbert, George Kirby. And today is the day where they hand out the rings for the World Series championship.
And he didn't even mention, you know what? Your starter, Luis Castillo.
He's gone by then.
Okay.
Bye. They trade him for Ohtani.
See ya.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying so long, everyone.